Sermons on the words of St. Paul from 1 Corinthians, 2nd chapter. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, and from Jesus Christ, his Son, our Savior. Amen. And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. Regarding this testimony of God, St. Paul declares, we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom of God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Now, one need not read much of what St. Paul wrote in his epistles, or that which is testified to by St. Luke in the book of Acts regarding that which he spoke, to know that St. Paul was a man who was blessed with great gifts of eloquence, and who was well versed in the human wisdom of philosophy. But he wrote by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And thus, as he wrote, St. Paul declared to the Corinthian church and to us that the power of the word is not found in such outward matters which are subject to the power of men. Rather, the testimony of God is that which the Lord of heaven and earth has made known, which was hidden from the reason and experience of men. It is this revealed word which brings life and salvation. St. Paul makes a clear distinction between that which the testimony of God establishes and that which worldly wisdom establishes, because the lesser worldly wisdom is a lesser wisdom ending in futility. As he wrote, your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Those who purport to speak for the church have gotten, in many cases, quite comfortable speaking according to worldly wisdom, and our flesh gladly hears such appeals. The testimony of God not being subject to worldly wisdom indeed often seems foolish to sin-darkened reason. But the wisdom of the hour, the wisdom of men, is that which is truly foolish, for it seeks to establish that which is beyond its grasp. For it seeks to establish that which will endure, and that which men imagine, that which men build, cannot last. They want to establish that which is eternal, and only the divine word can provide that. St. Paul's theme is similar to that which St. Peter expresses in the first chapter of his first epistle. For there he wrote, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. That which is incorruptible and which is reserved in heaven is that which is revealed in the testimony of God. It proclaims a salvation which owes nothing to any worldly virtue. The Word of God gives repeated assurances that the testimony of God, the everlasting gospel, is something which is not subject to man. Ordained before the ages, Paul declared, that which is reserved in heaven for us is nonetheless that which is being proclaimed in time by those who are present in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. The coming of the Christ and his atonement for sin occur in time according to the eternal will of the triune God. And that salvation, which is not subject to human wisdom, is revealed to men in the appointed hour. The human propensity to attribute that which the Lord is accomplishing in time through the instrumentality of men is not according to the power or wisdom of men. Consider King David, as we have heard of the establishment of his reign in the words of 2 Samuel chapter 5. Men would give weight to the intelligence, or at least the cunning, of David, and men would consider his actions according to the tactics of statecraft. Men saw the outward works which David knew, while David knew the source of his victories and indeed of his kingdom. For we have heard in verse 12, "So David knew that the Lord had established him as king over Israel, and that he had exalted his kingdom for the sake of his people, Israel." David, in short, knew it wasn't because of him, and it wasn't about him. It was according to the power of God, and to fulfill God's purpose for his people, indeed, to accomplish the plan for salvation. The enemy wanted David to be vulnerable according to the strategies of men, but David sought the will of God when he considered waging war upon them, asking of the Lord, "Will you deliver them into my hand?" The Lord said to David, "Go up, for I will doubtless deliver the Philistines into your hand." Time and again, the enemies of the faith calculated according to the sin-darkened reasoning of men and according to the perversion of their thought as they have been led astray by the evil one. It was thus, as St. Paul wrote, that concerning the hidden wisdom of God, the rulers of this world knew nothing. For had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Concerning the inability of the men of this fallen world to comprehend the wisdom which guides the church by the revealing of the Holy Spirit, it remains as St. Paul wrote, "But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." We see this as often as men try to bring the reasoning of natural man into the considerations of Christ's church, seeking to conform her mission or her means to the ways of the world. When the world concedes some moral authority to the church, immediately the world wants the church to serve its ends. We see this as often as some politician expresses his desire that faith communities, yes, they've grown that shallow, be put to work to serve his or her agenda, and for them not to serve the proclamation of the word of the Lord. But the rebuke which we have heard still stands. We speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age, who are coming to nothing. The ideologies of men propose all manner of utopias, promising perfected forms of government which will endure throughout the ages and which will provide all that men desire. But such schemes are a form of idolatry, worshiping the work of men's hands. They propose the nation or form of government or an economic system will endure forever and bring peace and prosperity to men if only they were universally adopted. In this task, they would insist, the church must do her part. The bride of Christ has no interest in any such schemes. Like St. Paul, our concern as church is but to know Jesus Christ and him crucified. As our Lord did not suffer and die and rise again for such worldly matters as may excite the nations, so our concern as church is not for such things. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Therefore, all the political and economic theories and plans of men are a distraction from that which has been made known to us by the revelation of the Holy Spirit through the word of the Lord. For our interactions in worldly matters, we have knowledge of the wisdom of this fallen world. But our life and salvation are not in such things. It is thus that the Christian should desire to hear the word of the Lord from the servants of the Lord, who have resolved to do as did St. Paul. "For I have determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified." We who stand in the succession of apostolic doctrine, which we have received from Holy Writ, rejoice at that which the Lord of heaven and earth has granted to us. We have our life in Christ, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sin, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. The Christ who rose again from the dead is our life and our salvation. He sent his Holy Spirit that the church would be guided in the divinely revealed wisdom, guided in the way of repentance, trusting solely in the merits of Christ Jesus. By grace, we know some measure of the revealed wisdom of God, and in this we have our consolation and our life. Amen. And may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.